I just talked to Mike, which was really fun. I had a great time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about what I'm doing, so you have some idea, and then ask you about your time in the garden. So I'm a master's student in the geography department, and my advisor is an environmental historian, and I'm writing an environmental history of the gardens. So what it's been over time as a place to people, how people have experienced it, how its relationships with the university has changed over time, and just what it's been, how people have experienced it, what they've grown, what it has meant to people over time. So I guess, what do you remember most about the gardens, or what was it like when you were there gardening?
We lived in Eagle Heights for, maybe Mike told you how many years, but, mm-hmm. quite a number of gardening seasons. Mm-hmm. And, there was a committee that would, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
There was a committee that would, meet in the early part of the year, I guess, and plan, for distributing the gardens, and it was always, someone from Eagle Heights. I remember the guy that used to sort of oversee it was a wonderful guy, not necessarily into agriculture or anything like that, just a regular grad student, and they would divide up the plots, mm-hmm. and assign the plots to people that were interested, mm-hmm. And then in the spring, I guess the university would plow the gardens. They were always very clean when we went and, were ready to plant. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to do that. We had a garden every season. And, the wonderful thing about it that Mike probably mentioned was sort of the international aspect of it, because Eagle Heights mm-hmm. was a very international community back then. I'm sure it still is. There were so many foreign grad students from all over the world, mm-hmm. and they were interested in gardening. Many of them, had been gardeners at home, and so you would be, putting in your tomatoes and beans and things next to somebody who was growing all kinds of crops that we didn't necessarily recognize, And I guess they would get seeds from somewhere and uh-huh. planting things, and that was wonderful. And then, of course, they would bring them back and cook them in their kitchens, and so that was, part of the fellowship of the whole thing.
Mm.
I started gardening there when I was, in my 20s or so. We had a baby when we moved into Eagle Heights, I started gardening and canning and, preserving the things way back then. Mike and I still garden.
Mm.
We bought a house 22 years ago out in the country in rural Montgomery County,
mm-hmm.
so that we could do serious gardening. Our son, who was a baby in Eagle Heights, went off to college, and so mm-hmm. we bought a house that's right in a rural agricultural reserve in the county, so that we could kind of do what we had done back in Eagle Heights.
Mm.
We have, large vegetable gardens, and and it all got started there in Eagle Heights, and
mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that kind of movement seems to be coming back now. Community gardens, and, this local, agriculture stuff is coming back
mm-hmm.
for families, like young families. A lot of them are getting into it, because I think it was one of the best things about being a student at the university. The community aspect of it, and growing the good food, and all of that. It was
mm-hmm.
just a nice walk from our apartment over the hill to
mm-hmm.
this large plot where all the gardens for it. You've been over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually have. This is my second year gardening there, so.
You what?
This is my second year gardening there.
Oh, you're living behind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're going through the same routine, you know, all these decades later that we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just glad that it's continued.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were pretty much into organic gardening back then.
Mm.
It wasn't acknowledged so much, you know, as a thing, but nobody mm-hmm. really used pesticides mm-hmm. or anything on their gardens back then. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we you know, did sort of the same kind of techniques we've been using all these years. So.
Mm-hmm. So organic gardening was common when you were gardening there?
I know that word was out then, organic, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't as much of a, you know, as widespread or as acknowledged back then as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was back when the whole foods, the Whole Earth Catalog was out and people were just beginning to, you know, to realize a need for sustainable, you know, use of the land and the
mm-hmm.
environment. And
mm-hmm.
So we're beginning to be sensitive to those things. And
mm-hmm.
that was one of the things that drew us to growing our own garden.
Mm.
You know, I made bread and, you know, and we had the food co-op. And in a way, the garden was part of the same... you know, the same kind of movement back then that prompted the food co-op, which Mike and I helped organize.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was up there in Eagle Heights until just a few years ago, but it was a very major, you know, center for student activities to the food co-op. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we didn't sell any of the garden stuff at the food co-op. That might have been an option we might have thought about doing, but
mm-hmm.
not everybody had a garden.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's part of that early 1960s and 1970s recognition of the need to, you know, protect the environment and, you know, not be too much of a conspicuous consumer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, there was there were even some local environmental issues. I remember they were going to fill in that marsh. There was a parking lot called Lot 60. I don't know if it's still there, but it was a parking lot over by the Picnic Point area, you know, along the Willow Drive there. And
uh-huh.
there's a marsh over there, and they were going to fill that in.
Mm.
And Mike was part of a early protest of the first Ecology Students Association or something back then, where we were trying to block them from filling in that marsh. And we realized then that the role that the marsh played in filtering the, the water for the lake. And there was a lot of that kind of sensitivity coming about back in those days.
Mm.
So the garden was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I can think of. Do you have any other questions?
I'd like to know, you say there's sort of a sense of community in the gardens, and do you have specific examples of how you'd interact with people in the gardens, or what they looked, could you describe what they looked like, or what they felt like when you went into the gardens when you were there?
Well, you always hoped that someone would be there when you went up to, you know, the weeds or to plant something, and, you know, you got to know the neighboring gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
It's so long ago that I can't give you any real details about who was who or anything. It was a nice meeting place. And
mm-hmm.
of course we saved money too, because we did eat what we grew and we preserved it. I did a lot of canning back then.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the tomatoes and, you know, so
mm-hmm.
it was, impulses that kept us going. And, it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. They're still doing it, right?
They are still doing it. They're still, I think, maybe just slightly smaller, some of College of Agriculture plots. Displaced some garden plots because of other building happening on campus. But I think they're about 7 acres. A few big differences is that, one, they're all organic now. It's now part of the rules that you can't use anything.
Sure. Which happened. Good. I'm not surprised about that.
No, it's not. It's not surprising. That happened in '96, and then it's also all no-till. So it was plowed twice a year, I think, when you were gardening there. But there's no longer, tilling doesn't happen at all. So many people have perennial plants like raspberries and rhubarb and asparagus, or we winter over garlic.
They do. You can keep your same plot and put asparagus and things in.
You can, yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's excellent. Yeah,
so they're perennial plots, which is really nice. I think it changes the way that the gardens feel, because we do have these woody, like, raspberry canes left over from the year before and
fences
and things. But it's really nice. I'm going to harvest garlic that I planted last fall today, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think it's great that you're doing this, project, and you know, it really ties in with a lot of what people are thinking about today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of revived interest in home gardening and community gardens and things, so that I'm sure your thesis will be of interest to to all kinds of people. It's an excellent topic, I think.
Thank you.
Are you finding other people to talk to?
I've interviewed over 30 gardeners so far.
Excellent.
So
I don't know how far back it goes. When did they first start doing it?
1960.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we were in one of the earlier ones.
You were one of the earlier ones, yep.
Yeah, because I know it was fully underway when we began, and, there was already a sort of a system for dividing up the pots and there were some people that were more meticulous than other people, as there are in any situation like that, and we were sort of in the middle. We were not the most we didn't have the most beautiful garden, but it was productive, and we went there regularly, every day or so. You have to with a garden. There's always something you have to do. It was a great diversion. I wasn't working back then much. For most of the time, I was in school or working part time. So I had some time to work on it.
In a community garden or an allotment style garden where everybody has to maintain their own garden, it's a problem when some people are, keep their gardens very clean and other people don't do any weeding or are lazy fare about it. Do you remember any moments when that was a problem when you were gardening, or was it just?
I don't remember that being a real issue, to tell you the truth.
Oh, good.
I'm sure there were some people that were sloppy or left their tools all over the place or something, but I don't have any lingering hard feelings about that. I just feel positive. So.
Oh, yeah. And everybody I've talked to does just feel positive about it, which is really nice.
Hold
a nice place.
I really can't think of any other recollections, but I hope you... that you get some good information from people.
I haven't, and you've given me good information, too. I just, I love hearing people's responses or reactions to remembering the gardens. It's really nice.
It was fun to take the babies and kids up there, too, then I kind of remember bringing Peter along and having him, you know, kind of play with a shovel or something, you know. It's just a great activity for graduate students with families. And I think the most unique thing, of course, was the international diversity of all the gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that, you know, anywhere really, except in a community like that. That was so extraordinary in any case, you know, that your upstairs neighbor is from Nigeria and your downstairs neighbor is from, Taiwan or, Chile or something like that.
Yeah.
They all had different, different ideas of gardening. And,
mm-hmm.
And it was great.
Well, Carol, thanks so much.
It's probably similar now in Eagle Heights, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lots of different nationalities.
It is. It's a very diverse community.
Yeah. Do you have children?
No, I don't have children. No.
Okay.
But I love going out and seeing all the families and everybody just relaxing in that place. So
what a great place to raise a baby, though. You know, I don't know if it's the way it is now, but our son Peter could just go outside and play. Even when he was like 3 years old, there was always somebody watching, and he'd go to the sandbox by himself, and everything was so wholesome. It's a great place. I have very fond memories.
Yeah, I love it. I love living at Eagle Heights. It's a really nice, it's a very nice setting, and the people are all so friendly too. Everybody's always aware and welcoming, so that's nice.
Is your husband a graduate student too?
Oh, I am actually not married. No.
Oh, you're not married.
No.
Okay.
Because you can, you live there no matter what.
They let non-married people live out there now?
They do, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But it's unusual,
It's a great thing you're doing, and, I'd love to see the finished product someday.
I am planning on sharing it with everybody that I've interviewed and talked to.
That'd be great.
So you will see it, most definitely.
And if you have any other questions, we're always around, okay?
Great. Thanks so much for taking some time and talking with me, Carol.
All right. Thank you for calling me.
Bye.